For May 8th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast. I don't know. I'm not going to be happy with that one. I'm going to have to redo it in my old style. For May 8th, 2006, it's the Lullabot Podcast. Lullabot Podcast. What episode is this? You guys remember what episode is this? Are we up to 11, 12? What is this?
11 or 12. Let's see.
Who's got the fastest internet connection?
Yeah, it's
11.
11.
11.
It's Drupal, the Lullabot Drupal.
No, it's 12.
No, it's 12.
Lullabot.
It's 12.
It's the 12. Lullabot Drupal podcast episode 12. And we're talking about Drupal 4.7. It's finally out. I'm just going to say it right off the bat before I introduce everyone. It's out. It's out. Final. Not release candidate. It's the final thing. It's out. You can use it and you can feel good about it. I'm Jeff Robbins. I'm on the line with
Matt Westgate
and
Ted Serbinski.
It's the Lullabot team, and we get together every week and we talk about Drupal. And here we are. So, how about all that, guys? What do you think?
Wow. Drupal 4.7. I remember back in October, I was talking with Dries just very quickly. He's like, yeah, this new Forms API, I think we'll spend 3 days, we'll get it in, iron out the bugs, and then we'll have a release candidate October 20th.
Nice.
And then fast forward 5 months.
Yeah. Oh, well, you live and learn.
Yes. Yeah.
And, you know, in retrospect, I'm glad it's in because, man, some of the things that you can do with that are amazing.
Oh, definitely. I agree.
It is very cool. It's
Form
hard.
Alter
it's hard
my
to understand. I mean, you get into this whole sort of world of arrays. I mean, it's just, it gets kind of confusing to put things together, but when it works, it's great. yeah.
And when it doesn't, it's hard to debug.
Yeah, it's hard to figure out what's going on. But yeah, we did some video casts, right? We worked with Dries and Steven, asked us to put together some video casts to sort of explain what's going on with 4.7, sort of how to install it, how to upgrade to it, and the new features. And so we made, the three of us made three video casts, and you can get to them on drupal.org/, what is it, videocast?
Videocasts.
Videocasts. VideoCasts.
On that same note, we put up instructions on how to create your own or contribute your own Drupal videocasts. So you can see what we use for compression and resolution and all that stuff. And if you make a video cast, Drupal will host it in the video cast section too. So feel free to contribute. The more we have, the better.
Awesome. That's great. Where are those instructions? Are those up in the video cast?
It's under the drupal.org/videocasts. There's a section now called Contribute Your Own Drupal Video Cast.
Oh, awesome.
And you can download the little bumper slides to put in your movie.
Ah.
And I talk about how to resize the browser so you can get the whole thing in the shot of your movie. I link off to screencast recording software and all that fun stuff.
Wow, very cool. Yeah, that's great. So super. And that's nice that Drupal's contributing bandwidth for that, because lots of people who do video casts know that the bandwidth can be an issue. So that's great.
One of the main bottlenecks.
Yeah, right on. And what else? What should we talk about? I mean, I guess all the new features and all that stuff are sort of in those videos. So I would just sort of encourage people to go and take a look. I mean, we've sort of talked some on the podcast about the new stuff in 4.7. And now I think we'll start sort of keeping our eye on the horizon for what will be the next version of Drupal. I assume, will be, Drupal 4.8. At least people are starting to use the term 4.8 when they refer to the next version of Drupal.
You know, if I had to sum up probably the biggest change in 4.7 from an end user experience would be creating and editing a piece of content.
Right.
You know, before you used to see a bunch of extraneous stuff before you went in there and added your title and body. And now when you go in and create a new piece of content, all you see is the title and the body, and you can start typing right away. There's no node publishing options up there at the top. You have resizable text areas on that field. You know, you can add many navigations on that page. But like all that extraneous stuff is at the bottom now, and it's all collapsed. And you know, it's just really even a cool experience for me when I go in and, you know, update my blog. It's just there and I can start and I don't have to think about the publishing options or the authoring information because all that's been moved to the bottom. I really dig that experience.
Yeah, because all that can be kind of daunting. I mean, just to sort of think about like whether it's published or in the moderation queue or whether it's, you know, all that kind of stuff. And mm-hmm. basically you can set it up in your node type options, you know, what the defaults are going to be for that. And if it's they're always going to be published or always going to be moderated or something like that, you can just, leave those be and you don't even really need to expand those areas of the page. Cool stuff.
It is.
Definitely. What else? What is the other news? Zach Rosen put up yet another video. Zach's rocking the video casts. I watched part of it and got distracted.
I watched it. It's really cool. He making no Drupal hacks at all, just using existing contributed modules. He ends up making this Google Maps mashup where he goes to the San Francisco government website, downloads a comma-separated value or a CSV file of crime data for San Francisco and imports that into Drupal using the node import module, right? And then he ties that into views module and a Google Maps module, the end result of which is a Google map with all the crime information plotted out. And
wow.
You put your little mouse over one of the little blips on the Google map, mm-hmm. and it tells you the detail of the crime and stuff. But he even goes so far as to make a search interface for it too, so that you can find all auto theft. And the result is you get a Google map that has just the auto theft on it. It's really cool.
So all that within 10 minutes?
All that within 10 minutes and with no hacks.
Wow.
That's great.
So yeah, you
can try that out.
You can find that, that video cast at Zacker.org, Zacker.org. And, yeah, cool stuff. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, and that kind of starts to get into looking at Drupal as a framework for a web application platform, rather than being a content management system particularly. I mean, really, like, you know, those different modules that he's got are really just using Drupal to sort of build their own little web app kind of stuff rather than sort of managing content per se. I mean, definitely when you start interfacing with the Google Maps and stuff like that, you're kind of getting into web application territory. Cool stuff. Definitely.
It is.
Let's see. Oh, London. We went to London. Remember when we went to London?
Oh, yeah.
So it was last Friday, yeah, something like that. We went to the there was a London Drupal meetup that Matt, Ted, and I all went to that Robert Costello organized, and it was neat to meet some of the London Drupal people and eat some vegetarian Chinese food. That was great.
It was cool to see some other Drupal folk there.
Yeah.
You know, I had almost wagered to say that you could find Drupal people in almost every stretch of the woods.
Well, I guess, and that's sort of what the new groups.drupal.org is trying to sort of harness that to allow people to create their own groups using the organic groups stuff that Moshe Weitzman wrote. And so there's, You can go if you want to create a local, you know, Portland user group kind of thing. You go there and you create a, you know, Portland user group thing, and people can come and join up, and then you get your own little sort of mailing list kind of thing, and people in a sort of private area that you can post to and stuff like that. It's a great way for people to connect. And to that end, actually, I should mention that the first Boston users group meetup is going to happen. For us, it's tomorrow night because it's Sunday, but the podcast will probably go out tomorrow. So it'll be tonight. If people download this as soon as it comes out and listen to it, otherwise you will have probably missed it if you're in Boston. But you can definitely go to groups.drupal.org and get on the Boston, get into the Boston group, and then we'll let you know when the next one's happening. So that's happening too. So yeah, meetups, local meetups, the power of local meetups.
Yeah, and some other people use the group site for related interests within Drupal. So, for example, I'm interested in Ajax development or accessibility with Drupal. And so there's groups like regional groups, and then there's groups like this is what we want to work on together. Right. So it's kind of harnessing both things. At least that's the way I understand it.
Yep. Yeah, definitely. Special interest groups, all kinds.
Yeah, thanks for Moshe for putting that together. I know he's put a lot of time into that.
So also we announced Lullabot training workshops. We're doing two workshops back-to-back, two-day workshops back-to-back in Washington, D.C. If you go to lullabot.com, there's all the information about it is right there. We're going to be down in D.C. on, what is it, May 22nd through the 25th? 25th. Through the, so the 22nd and 23rd is a Drupal 101 workshop, where we'll basically sort of do a complete like intro to Drupal, like, everything from how to install it to really talking a lot about like Drupal's capabilities, how it can be used. And how it can scale and stuff like that. I know a lot of people have had questions and have come to us, wanting to know sort of like, what can Drupal do for me? What would Drupal be a good solution for this type of a thing? And, usually the answer is yes. Sometimes the answer is no. And it's sort of important to know when is what and what is how. And a lot of people have a lot of questions and there's a whole lot to talk about. I mean, really everything from just sort of the basics of Drupal and Drupal think and how to use the Drupal community and, sort of how to make it all work right. So that's the 22nd and 23rd. And then the 24th and 25th, we're doing, Drupal theming workshop, which will be sort of similar to the, Drupal Camp workshop that I did out in San Francisco. But a little more in depth and a little more ironed out and stuff like that. And, so that one we'll get, sort of into the nitty gritty of, PHP template, and theming in Drupal in general, and talk about sort of concepting a theme, from a design, like starting from a design and kind of looking at it in a Drupal way and sort of trying to, sort of match up what Drupal needs to do with a page. And the different ways that Drupal can sort of quote unquote think of a page, and the way that a design might come together, from a web designer. So, that'll be a great one too.
And there will be, all of us will be there. The sort of like three instructors per class, right?
Yeah. We're going to tag team it. It's going to be nonstop. Just, you know, one of us will just go until we pass out, and then we'll just pass it off to the next one and just be nonstop, 3 to 4. Well, you can sign up for either one class, or you can get a discount if you sign up for both classes, although neither is really a prerequisite of the other. Although, obviously, for people who are doing Drupal theming, you really should sort of have had some experience with Drupal and how that works. So. So all that's happening. Lullabot.com. Check it out. And
I just want to add to that we're keeping the classes small so we can sort of have the one-on-one interactions with folks in the class. And we encourage people to bring you know, sort of what they're working on to the table so that they have specific references that, you know, will help them remember the things that we're teaching a little bit better and stuff like that. So,
yeah, I mean, they are workshops, and we really plan to kind of get in there and do some work in the class. So, yeah, definitely. I think that on the last podcast, I said that the next podcast would be an interview with Jonathan Chaffer, aka John Bob. But of course 4.7 came out, and so we're doing this sort of 4.7 specialized, podcast, and that one will be next week. It's pretty much edited and ready to go, but should be really interesting talking about CCK and all the really cool stuff that John's been working on. So let's talk a little bit about 4.8 and sort of where Drupal is headed for 4.8 and kind of what people can kind of expect on the horizon. I mean, you sort of strive to get to the goal of 4.7. Let's get there, let's get there, let's get there. And of course, now that we've done all this work to get here, no one wants to rest on their laurels for any amount of time. And we immediately start into like, well, okay, we did that. Now what can we do for 4.8, which is great and exciting.
Now let's rip it all out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's been a really interesting thread on Drupal.org that Dries started basically talking about people's personal battle plans for 4.8. And what different people wanted to do and contribute. And it's really interesting reading through what are basically on different people's radars. I'm really interested in sort of improving the whole user experience part of Drupal and user interface and the install system and stuff like that. And it's nice to see that some other people are interested in that as well. And then other people get into sort of more nitty gritty stuff. That's really cool. What of that thread has been exciting for you guys?
I think the biggest thing for me is theming stuff. Adrian is very intent on right now getting rid of theme functions and I think moving things into TPL files. There's still a little bit debate about how that's actually going to happen, but I think theming in 4.8, whatever the next version is going to be, is going to be a lot better. So I'm really interested in making things easier to do and easier to theme.
So is the concept behind that if we move theme functions out of the PHP code, that there's less PHP to parse, so less overhead and less memory footprint with PHP? Or is there theme benefits as well?
I think there is a little bit of benefit in the parsing, but the biggest benefit is you have all the theme functions in their TPL file, so designers, you don't really have to override things as much. You just open up the TPL file. And it's you can see everything you need to theme. Yeah,
I would assume, right, that you can take the TPL file from the module directory and copy it into your theme directory, and then just open it up and edit it.
Exactly.
And so you have an individual file that you can just edit, and it's really sort of clear how that works. Well, clear is a relative term, but yeah. clearer. But yeah, I mean, I think that there's definitely a lot of improvement that could go on with the theming layer, and it's great to see.
Yeah, and I think moving the theme files out of Drupal core, it also opens up possibilities for Drupal doesn't have to be just outputting to a web page. Maybe it's going to be outputting into some other format. So now with all the theme files out, you can output whatever you need to, XML or, I don't know, whatever else you could think of.
Yeah, I'd been thinking about that. Like, you could create sort of a theme switcher kind of thing that would like do, you know, check to see if the browser is a mobile phone, and if so, you could basically switch to a theme that was sort of more like a WAP based theme or just a super simplified theme or something like that. And yeah, that's really cool to be able to like output XML or something for a Flash. Flash-based browser kind of thing. Yeah.
Cool.
And I think the other big thing is moving all the modules into their own directories. So this would allow per module, like meta files, install files, and like CSS files. So that way, when you set up Drupal, instead of having like 50 tables and you only use like 10 of them because you only enable 10 modules, now you only actually have the 10 tables you need, or if you need install dependencies, depending on if one module needs some other module, the meta files can tell what modules they need.
Yeah, that's cool. That makes a lot of sense. I mean, we've been doing that for a while, right, with the contributed modules. You know, we mm-hmm. just drag the whole folder in because there's other meta information that we want to keep with it. So
yep.
it makes sense to head in that direction with Core as well.
How about you, Matt?
Battle plan for 4.7?
Well,
Or for 4.8?
Thoughts about it. I'm not going to make anybody commit to anything, but...
It's hard for me to keep track of what Adrian's up to. He is a man with many ideas, and sometimes I get a glimpse of his genius, but a lot of times I'm just back in the corner nodding and smiling because I've missed all the other stuff he's talked about. He's somebody that we should get on the Drupal podcast and mm-hmm. let him go to town.
We'll have to slow it down. We'll let Adrian talk, and then we'll just run it at half speed so that people can understand what he's saying. It's the man's a thinker. He thinks well. Him have good brain.
Yes.
Him do.
So what are the things that we can sort of expect? I mean, you know, in an abstract way, how will 4.8 be different than 4.7? Theoretically. I think, well, first of all, let me just say, the release cycle system is going to be different this time around. I was talking to some people in the know, and I think basically, I was talking to Neil Drum, and I think who's actually responsible for this. So he is the no. He was saying that he thinks that what they're going to do is just actually do like a 6-month release cycle. So basically you just start the clock, and 6 months from when 4.7 came out, which was last Monday, or some sort of arbitrary number, that will be when 4.8 comes out, and whatever's been done will be in, and what hasn't won't. So we're not going to sort of go through this same kind of system that we went through with 4.7 and
where it
and
took
stuff.
A year.
Yeah. 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 But definitely, I mean, people are talking about, I mean, when Dries got up in Vancouver, he was talking about usability and sort of that we've kind of got most of the features in that we need. And at this point, it's really about making the features easier to use. And I think that comes down to things like making the install system better and just sort of making things cleaner and easier to use. We've also been talking about working on a new default theme for Drupal, so it's prettier. Mm-hmm. So which kind of goes into easier to use, basically sort of give it a better face to sort of reflect the power that's going on under the hood. Are there other areas that you guys know about?
I think that go ahead, Matt.
We're probably going to talk about the same thing.
Yeah.
One of the things that we'll probably see is the whole node creation or node type creation become more abstracted, so that you don't download blog module, you don't download story module and then install it. You create it sort of on the fly through your Drupal interface, you know, where you have, I want to create a new node type and I want it to have these fields. I mean, we're certainly moving in that direction, and I imagine some amalgamation of all this brain thought that's going into this process is going to emerge in 4.8 one way or another. Right now there's things where, you know, if you just have a personal website and you want to blog, you probably don't want to enable blog module because blog module is oriented towards sort of group blogging. You probably just want to use story module. And so it's just all these sort of problems about, you know, people using node types in different ways. And if we could go in and just create the ones that we want to use, call it whatever we want, add the fields that we want, it would certainly lessen the confusion, I would think.
Yeah. So basically, I mean, what you're talking about in abstract terms is CCK going into Core.
Yeah, some type of CCK going into Core.
Some type. CCK content creation kit. I always say creation, content construction kit. Content.
One of those.
Construction kit for creating.
I think they both work.
Yeah, it works. So basically all that sort of would be abstracted. You could create your own node types just by sort of moving things around and put as many fields as you want in and stuff like that. Very cool.
I think another thing, kind of expanding upon that is developers, things are going to become a lot more flexible for developers. Like form, the hook form alter kind of is a segue into that, where right now we have total control over the node edit forms. You can add form elements, remove them, and it's super easy. And I think we're going to see a lot more of that in 4.8 and future releases, where there's going to be functions like that where you can just very easily alter the state of Drupal and just kind of add in a bunch of cool functionality without much work.
So yeah, there's a lot of different things that are going to, a lot of people are thinking about all sorts of different aspects of things to go in 4.8. There's been talk about trying to get the subscriptions module in and sort of some sort of mail capability into Drupal core. And then there's also a fair amount of work just on Drupal.org that sort of will kind of form things. Like, for instance, people want to get a lot of things into core now because they want it to be supported and solid and stuff like that, because there's sort of this feeling, and rightly so, in a lot of cases, that the contrib modules are kind of this wild west of, you're not quite sure what you're going to get. But so there's been also talk about sort of creating like a second level of modules that are like, approved modules, that are sort of almost core, but aren't actually part of core. So there's some stuff like that that's all happening on the horizon. It's really exciting. And, if anybody out there listening is, interested or excited about this as we are, please, contribute, and all of this stuff needs resources and needs help. And so we would love, for everyone to chip in as they can. And it doesn't necessarily need to be, actual coding work. I mean, there's stuff like the, you know, reorganizing the Drupal site that, it's really just kind of thinking work, a lot of sort of logical help. We have a tip of the week this week, right?
We do. We do have a tip of the week.
Hold on, let's bring in the tip of the week robot. Yeah. Okay.
I love that.
Matt Westgate.
The tip of the week is from Tim McDorman. And if you, I know this has happened to me, but if you've forgotten your root password, what I've done in the past is all the passwords in the Drupal database are stored.
Your user ID 1 password, right? The sort of root user of Drupal, the user ID 1 that has all the privileges.
Right. Great.
Sorry. Go.
No. That's great. All the passwords are stored encrypted in the Drupal database. They're MD5 hashed is what it's called, which means they're encrypted one way and they can't be decrypted. So if you've forgotten your password, you have to reset it. You can't get your existing password and then type it in again. That's a security feature. So what you can do is, if you have forgotten your user password, you go to your database and you can enter an SQL command. MySQL has a function in it called MD5. So what you do is you say, this is the query, update users set pass equal MD5, and then you put in your new password right there, where UID equal 1. And what that does is it'll reset your root user password.
Cool.
That's it.
Yeah. Nice stuff. Yeah, I mean, that happens all the time, right? Yeah, well, not all the time, but, you know, you go to set up a site somewhere, you know, test site or something, and then you forget what your login is. And you don't remember what – or you didn't set it up with an email address that works or something like that. And so, yeah, it's sort of that, like, do I just reinstall Drupal all over again, or you know, how can I basically sort of reset it if it doesn't have a proper email address to actually send a new password to?
And if that query string, if you don't remember the query string and you have two Drupal sites, you can go into the database, copy the password field of a password you know, and then go paste it in the other one that you don't know.
Oh, okay. So MD5 works across sites. It's not like tied into the machine ID or something like that, right?
No, the idea with the MD5 is that every like if your password was foobar, that would create a unique MD5 string across the board, no matter where it was at.
Right. So anytime you encoded that into MD5, it would always be the same.
Right.
Right. So you can just copy it from one site and paste it, or one user and paste it into another user or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I mean, cause that's all sort of this mysterious MD5 stuff I never quite understood. So cool.
Should we mention the Summer of Code real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do please.
Yeah. Go for it, Ted.
All right.
And by we, I mean you.
Yes. So Summer of Code applications are due May 8th. So if this is going out on May 8th, they're due today. So get your applications in. There's a lot of cool projects out there, a lot of great ideas for kind of enhancing Drupal, making it better in a bunch of different areas.
Ted, can you talk about what Summer of Code is for people that don't?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. So Summer of Code is sponsored by Google. This, I think last year was the first year they did this. Basically, Google sponsors a bunch of open source projects, and they pay students to work on these open source projects over the summer, contributing in some way back to the project. In the case of Drupal, either contributing some sort of module or some sort of patch that affects Drupal. And basically, you can apply to the Google Summer of Code, and you can apply to work on the Drupal project, you can work on like the PHP project, any project. And once you get accepted, we pair you up with a mentor. I think we're trying to do two mentors this year. And basically, the mentors will kind of help you on your project and guide you over the summer so you can get something cool in the Drupal.
So it's a great way for students who are thinking of learning Drupal development to really just dive in with a like actual project that's actually of some worth to the Drupal community. It's great. It's how Angie Byron got started, right?
Yeah.
Web chick who's quickly woven herself deeply into the Drupal community, and she just started last summer with Summer of Code, and now she's famous. So yeah, right on.
And it's an easy way to, if you like Drupal, easy way to make some money working on Drupal, especially if you're going to do it over the summer in your free time, might as well get paid.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Great.
So yeah.
Right on. Well, we'll just keep this podcast to sort of this amount of stuff, and we'll check in again next week with an interview with John Bob. And again, if people have questions, suggestions for the podcast, questions you want us to answer on the podcast, that kind of thing, you can call 877-LULLABOT. It's 877-585-5226. If you're calling in with Skype or some overseas kind of thing, it's +1-877-585-5226. Should work at least with Skype and sort of most. I think it's sort of the toll-free numbers in North America are kind of funny, but you can get. I know you can get in with Skype. So yeah, call us and leave a message. And we'll answer questions and listen to suggestions and that kind of thing. And we'll take it up in a future podcast. But for now, we'll see you later.
Bye, everybody.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.